News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, 8:07 on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings in week two. We're near the edge in the end of week two.
Yeah.
And been a lot of fun. It's been a learning experience, but the listeners and callers and those on the text line have been very kind, and there seems to be a level of approval.
Yeah.
So that's good. And, of course, this was a move made by Sean Sullivan in some ways for Sean Sullivan.
You did not remove Sean Sullivan.
No. This was conversations we had so he could spend more time with family and more time not waking up at 0 o'clock, and also because he runs the entire business. So for that's asking a lot of somebody to run a business when you're starting your day at like 3:45.
Doubt about that. It is the hour where we turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. That number works on the phone, the traditional phone where you dial the number, or those newfangled cell phones. Also works for texting. You can use that same number. And brought to you this hour by your CBD store of West Mobile. And if you're like me and you appreciate the benefits of CBD, right now is the time to stock up, because your CBD store of West Mobile celebrating Labor Day with an everything in the store sale. And if you're not familiar with CBD and you'd like to know more, all you have to do is ask Joe Brown at your CBD store, and then stock up, because everything in the store is on sale today only. Select items 25% off and 10% off all other items. And to make it even sweeter, you'll get a free gift with your purchase today. So do like I do and visit my favorite CBD store, your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest across from Waffle House, or you call your order in at 260-3223, 260-3223, and you can pick that order up curbside. It's your CBD store of West Mobile's Labor Day sale today only. They open from 11 to 5, and they're closed tomorrow through Monday for Labor Day. And Labor Day, I'm sure many people looking forward to that. We're now, so Thursday, a day away from many people getting a long holiday weekend, 3 days off.
Yeah, many people have been off since March the 13th,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, yeah, crazy.
I want to know your plans this hour. What are you planning to do for Labor Day? Specifically, anyone out there going to this Back the Blue boat parade down in Orange Beach? Mm-hmm. Yesterday on Midday Mobile, Sean talked with the event organizer, Jack Galetta, and it's the first Back the Blue boat parade they've had. It's scheduled for Labor Day, Monday afternoon. I think they're planning on getting out in the water right around 1 p.m. to start that parade. And talking with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams last hour, he said that weather is looking nice. It's going to be hotter than all get out this week and on Monday, but rain should be mostly inland, so it should be a nice weekend out there on the beach.
Sunscreen and a big old wide-brimmed hat, if you can.
Why are you staring at me when you say that?
Well,
my complexion? Is that what
I was staring at you to see if you were staring back at me, because I'm the one that's had the multiple dermatologist appointments here recently. So just, you know, enjoy the fact that we live on the coastline. Enjoy the fact we've got a Back the Blue parade, which those images are going to mean a lot to our law enforcement people. You know that.
No doubt about that.
And at the same time, just go ahead and stay safe virus-wise and sun-wise as well. I know we're going to talk about the budget this hour and Wall Street, which are kind of going in two
different directions.
Completely different directions.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk about that. Also, the follow-up from Pelosi getting caught in the salon in San Francisco, and also Joe Biden heading to Kenosha, Wisconsin today, 2 days after President Trump. We can get into that in this first half hour. And then we're talking with Rob Holbert from Lanyap at the bottom of the hour, as we do every Thursday. Right now, time to go to the phones, though.
Yeah. Joe Biden's going to get caught in a hair plug salon, probably.
He could.
Ed is on the line this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Ed O'Donnell, how are you?
Doing great.
Since the beginning of time, there have been personalities who hate people, but not enough attention is given to this. Some of them, they move it to another level where they ritualistically all day try to destroy people whom they hate.
Anyone in particular, Ed?
Yeah,
anyone in particular you're talking about here?
Yeah, and it fits with the election. I'm from Delaware. And in Delaware, the DuPonts, who run the Republican Party, and Biden and Tom Carper run the Democratic Party. Let me give you an example. 30% of the calls to 911 are false accusations. In other words, people who hate, they call up the police, they just make something up to try to get the one they hate in trouble. But back to your point, in Delaware, what I saw with the DuPonts and Biden and Carper, if they dislike somebody, they will criminally, verbally abuse those people. Mm. But here's the point. The criminal justice system doesn't stop them because they're prominent.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do a better job of stopping powerful personalities from destroying people. It's very complicated.
Yeah, how do we go about that, Ed?
Well, the media and the criminal justice system have to enforce the law. So if Biden goes around and his family and his staff criminally, verbally abusing their enemies, the media and the criminal justice system have to stop them. And Savannah Guthrie, George Stephanopoulos, Lester Holt, they never tell you about this syndrome. But powerful people are able to get away with destroying people. And we have to hone in on this.
Give me an example real quick in the next couple of minutes. What can we do right now to stop this trend that has been going on since the beginning of time?
Can you?
Yes.
First one.
Yes. The governors of the states and the leaders of the police departments have got to make public statements, and it's got to be publicized by the news media. They say, we don't care who you are, whether you're Pierre DuPont or Joe Biden or Tom Carper, it is criminal and illegal to ridicule and belittle and harass your political enemies. And that would put it would do some good.
Yeah,
but we got to go worldwide with this publicity.
I don't hate that at all, Ed. Good call there, and I think...
Hey, listen.
What's up?
Google me. I'm third-party candidate for President of the United States. Google Ed O'Donnell, candidate for President of the United States.
It's
have
Ed
a great
O'Donnell.
Weekend.
Ed O'Donnell. I'll keep that in mind as I head to the...
Google him.
Head to the polling place.
Well, I thought it was interesting that it was kind of like he was tossing both parties over the boat, so finally, at the very end, he let us know that he's the third-party candidate.
Yeah.
So... That was quite crafty on his part.
And, well, you know, he's not that far off on some of these powerful politicians that get away with pretty much anything they want. And I'm thinking specifically of this Nancy Pelosi story we've been discussing over the last couple of days. And, you know, on its face, it seems like, you know, who cares? She was getting a haircut, whatever. But when you're talking about the most powerful member of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who is on the side, and there have certainly been Republicans, and we're in a state that has been shut down due to COVID-19, but the side that's been pushing hardest for these long-term shutdowns of businesses are the Democrats. No way around that. Nancy Pelosi has helped lead that charge, and getting caught on the security cameras there in her home city of San Francisco, having this special appointment inside of a salon where right now salons and barbershops can be open in San Francisco, but only outside.
Outside where the pigeons are. Watch it.
And they've talked with the owner of that salon, who rents her chair out to stylists, so I guess she didn't have much of a say of whether that stylist could come in and cut Pelosi's hair or not. But they asked Pelosi yesterday about the images, and this woman last night on Tucker Carlson on Fox News said she's lost 60% of her business since these shutdowns began. Well, Pelosi yesterday, she did take responsibility for getting suckered. Listen to this. Or let's see if we can pull that audio up real quick.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times, and that when they said what we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup.
Yeah, and sorry about that tinny audio there, but Pelosi saying she was in the right. It was the salon owner who was in the wrong for letting her come in to get her hair cut. And I think Ed, third-party candidate there, he hit on something that we do let the powerful get away with stuff like this. And with Pelosi saying that, and with the salon owner saying she has been attacked relentlessly since she put that security video out of Pelosi getting caught in the hair salon the other day. Of course, you think of San Francisco, so many liberals over there, and a lot of Nancy Pelosi backers, they are just destroying her business with Yelp reviews and saying she shouldn't have snitched and turned Pelosi in. It's unbelievable, and Pelosi has turned her people loose on this salon owner when she's telling everybody they have to stay shut down, but not for her. She can get her hair cut.
Mm. Well, you know, once you make that decision that you're going to jump in there politically and do something like that, a little bold, salon owner, I'm sorry, you jumped into the shark-infested waters of what is going to be a very contentious campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't have to do it. She
had
did
to expect it, though.
What's that?
Had to expect that.
You would think so. You would think so. Looks like Ricky wants to talk to us.
All right.
The Ricky?
We'll see.
We'll see. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. It is Mobile Mornings, and it is 8:16. Seems like a nice enough song. A little New Orleans feel to it. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig at 8:22, turning up your voice on FM Talk 106.5. Budget, not so good.
Yeah.
Wall Street, really good.
Yeah, well said. And I want to hit a couple national stories before we go back to the phones and then talk with Rob Hulbert here at the bottom of the hour. But the federal budget deficit projected to hit a record $3.3 trillion as these huge government expenditures to fight the coronavirus have added more than $2 trillion to the federal ledger. That means that federal debt this year will exceed annual gross domestic product, actually next year, not this year. That's right around where we were in the aftermath of World War II, when, of course, we were spending so much money on the military.
Yeah.
The $3.3 trillion figure that was released yesterday, more than triple the shortfall from last year and more than double the levels that we had after the market meltdown, the Great Recession back in 2008. They say here, government spending fueled by four coronavirus response measures would register at $6.6 trillion. That's a lot of money, but really $2 trillion, only $2 trillion more than we spent last year. So getting into some big trouble with the government spending there, but you wouldn't know it looking at Wall Street. S&P 500 and NASDAQ finished at all-time highs yesterday, beating the records that they set the day before. And it's got to be because of all this new money that's swimming around in the economy. Also, interest rates so low. I've heard Sean say before that with interest rates this low, really the best place to put your money is in the stock market.
Yeah.
So a bit of a split story there with what's going on nationally in the economy.
And the rates are so low, if you're trying to buy a house, it's like Monopoly out there.
Yeah.
If you've got a little money.
14-year high in home sales. Also RVs, vehicles. A number of sectors are doing really well right now. Of course, a lot of local business owners, restaurants, stores, they're taking it on the chin right now also. So a bunch of different stories across the nation as we continue to deal with the fallout from coronavirus. And then looking at some national news, it looks like presidential contender Joe Biden, the former vice president, he's heading to Kenosha, Wisconsin today, 2 days after the president did the same thing. He's expected to meet with the family of Jacob Blake. And yesterday, the vice president was asked what he was hoping to accomplish with the trip. Here's that cut from Joe Biden yesterday.
We got to heal. We got to put things together, bring people together. And so my purpose in going will be to do just that.
Now, Biden was asked about the shooter in Portland that shot that right-wing protester that night. He said there needs to be an investigation there and that the law needs to play itself out. But asked about the officers involved in the Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor shootings, Biden said, let's make sure that justice is done.
I do think there's a minimum need to be charged, the officers, and as well as Breonna Taylor.
And as we get closer to November, yesterday, they announced the moderators for the upcoming, hopefully the upcoming presidential debates.
Sean Sullivan?
He was not invited this year.
I wonder if Sean Sullivan got on there and only asked questions about fishing.
That would be great. And I don't know if either could answer a single question about that. But you're going to have three debates for the president. For the presidential race and then one vice presidential debate. Chris Wallace from Fox News, he's going to moderate the debate September 29th in Cleveland.
Okay.
And then C-SPAN October 15th, Steve Scully. They're calling that a town meeting debate. And then October 22nd in Nashville, that's NBC's debate, and Kristen Welker will host that one. And also you've got the vice presidential debate October 7th, and USA Today's Susan Page will moderate that with Mike Pence and the Democrat vice presidential contender Kamala Harris. So
is the C-SPAN debate only available on C-SPAN? It can't be, right?
It's just hosted by.
Okay.
So we'll see all of these debates
on all the major networks.
I believe it'll be on every network. I'm not 100% sure about that, but we're getting really close. I mean, we're in September now. First presidential debate scheduled for September 29th, vice president's on October 7th, and then Biden and Trump again October 15th, and then October 22nd. And then just 10 days after that, everyone heads to the polls and votes in this big time general election.
This is quite a time right now.
It really is.
Quite a time. It's quite a time on FM Talk 106.5, too. It's 8:26, and it's my second chance to chat with Ricky, and he's on the line right now.
Morning, Ricky.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Man, what you got going on?
Well, ever since I've been saved, man, I know about the spirit world. The Bible's true. If we live in this world without thinking that God's sitting on the throne, you know, watching everything, and Satan ain't running this world, and we're just, you know, out here voting and running around doing our thing, we're totally in the dark. We're totally lost. And we're going to be destroyed. And our government is totally corrupt from top to bottom. So I don't trust none of them. And I hope and pray we can go, if there is a time of, you know, peace or God's grace coming our way, I hope we put an independent in there and get off that Democrat Republican Party.
Hey, we'll just talk to one. We'll just talk to one. Ed O'Donnell.
Yeah. Hey, Ricky, that's you lead me into my question. Who are you thinking about voting for this November?
Independent for sure.
Okay. You know who the independent candidate might be? I need to look further into that.
No, I don't. I just don't see nobody that's a believer in Christ or believer in, you know, our founders of this country and our Constitution anymore. They both want to take it away and give us a virus shot that we don't even know if it's real or not. You know, I don't know what to think about all that, but I'm not letting them stick nothing in my arm. And we've totally destroyed our Constitution with this virus. I mean, I don't see when there where a virus gets to destroy our Bill of Rights.
Quick question, Ricky. With all these things that leave you dismayed and disgruntled, aside from your faith, what gets you through life day to day?
And prayer. I'm praying for God to forgive me so I don't sin today, and, you know, to gather myself to be a better person each day and to try to bring every thought into obedience, read the scriptures every morning, and seek God to protect me, to, you know, for me to obey him today, and then live one day at a time like that, and it's really peaceful.
All right.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thanks, Ricky. Another calm and collected call.
I like that.
From Ricky, yes.
Yeah, Ricky's all right.
Good stuff there, and if I think some ladies out there might have appreciated Ricky's accent. Maybe a little bit. He's got
that
Alabama accent. I found this story,
Dan. Are we going there now?
Before we get Rob Hobart on, who also apparently has a sexy Alabama accent,
yeah.
They've ranked the top 50 sexiest accents in the USA.
Yes.
Do you want me to start with the worst accents, or
sure,
should I start from the top of the list?
Isn't Boston the worst?
No, believe it or not, Boston ranks very highly on the sexy accents list. 50th, a state that you know pretty well, and this might be the reason.
Oh, state by state. Okay.
You moved away. Yeah, New Jersey. They say New Jersey has the least sexy accent of any state. Long Island right before that. And then Florida, they say, has the 48th least sexy accent among the states. Minnesota, the 47th least sexy accent. So if you're watching Fargo, probably not getting too fired up over that movie. But you look at the top of the list, and pretty good. Pretty good for some of the South. Number one overall, Texas. They gave Texas the sexiest accent.
Texas
award.
Is like is bigger than most European countries. It's got like 9 accents.
Yeah, and quite a few languages. They gave New York the second sexiest accent. Boston. They've got a picture of Mark Wahlberg. They say Boston has the third sexiest accent of all the states. And then Sweet Home Alabama coming in at number 4. They said we add extra R's to our words, like Warsh instead of Wash. They think that's sexy. Plenty of y'alls and dropping the NG at the end of words. So Alabama, the 4th sexiest accent. And we'll get Rob Holbert's take on that coming up.
Old Tide War Eagle, FM Talk 106.5. I get so distracted by Kane talking about the Hooters menu.
The menu, right?
And then I forget what the traffic was. And I know for you, you'll take anything but chicken fingers today. Am I right?
Oh, I've eaten too many chicken fingers over the last week. That's a long, long chicken finger
story. A meal streak.
Yeah, that's right. 836 FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, Dalton and Dan.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
That's great to hear. So let's talk about what's happening on the lot at McConnell this weekend. Also, of course, tomorrow, Friday, and then you got the long holiday weekend. Still got that employee pricing only deal?
That's going on all the way through Tuesday.
Okay.
Wednesday, Tuesday, yeah, Tuesday. So we got that. You got the employee pricing on all the SUVs except the 2021 Yukons. I'm sitting here looking at a white one right now, and it's just absolutely wonderful. We got a few people out there looking at it. Got a few AT4s in on the new side.
And,
you know, if y'all, everybody talks about it, that's a $6,000 rebate on it right now. And like I said, I don't know if it's going to continue. Who knows what General Motors will do, but don't forget about our used cars. You can check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you've got any questions, give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. We're going to let everybody off on Monday, so we're going to have a big weekend, hopefully. We got a few things going on here. So, you know, we got the Kentucky Derby going on.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Got, we're going to have some food laying around here, so y'all come check us out
all
this
right.
weekend if you're out and about.
Should be an awesome weekend at McConnell. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
They're holding the Kentucky Derby at McConnell Automotive this year?
Yeah, I didn't realize they had that much land out there to hold the Kentucky Derby. They need to move the cars off the lot before that happens. But it's always a fun time. I mean, any big sporting event, you can go to McConnell and not only look at the new and used vehicles, but they're always playing the football games in there and the Kentucky Derby this weekend. So that should be very cool.
Good group
to check
over
out.
There. Good group over there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Used to do remotes there just forever. Back in the day, and always enjoyed the people over there.
Well, it is a Thursday. Time to check in with our buddy, Rob Holbert from Lanyap, in a new edition on the streets and online right now. Good morning, Rob.
Morning. You know, it sounds like we just ought to take an ice chest over to McConnell and hang out for the weekend.
That's my plan. I'm going to set up in the tailgate of one of those AT4s and watch the traffic and go in for
tailgating
that.
Brand new trucks. That's a good idea.
Saturday's high temperature is 114, so I guess that the ice chest.
Nothing.
No matter where you go, take the ice chest.
Yeah, it's already hot on the streets, but a new edition of Lanyap makes it even hotter, Rob, because you got some great news stories in there this week. And I'm looking at the cover photo here. Mobile County Public Defender's Office prepares to launch next month the cover story from my good buddy, Jason Johnson. Tell us what we can expect if we open up a new copy this week.
Well, you know, this is a story we've been working on for really more than a decade on public defenders, indigent defense. Those who've read over the years probably realize we've covered a lot of stories on just the way we've done this in the past. Is if, you know, you can't afford an attorney, they would appoint one for you, which was an indigent defense. Mobile didn't have a public defender's office, so The judge would appoint an attorney, whoever the attorneys were that wanted to do that kind of work. They were hanging out in the courtroom waiting for that. And, you know, we did some stories in the past basically just showing there were some real, there's some people who made a lot of money doing it and handled a load of cases that probably sometimes may have seemed far too much, I think. And so over time, they've really moved toward this, toward a public defender's office. You're going to have people who are there. That's their job, to defend you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where it is at this point. It's just starting up. It's a big change for our county and for our system here.
So this has been in the works for a while. Do you know what kind of spurred this on? Was it, did they get hit with a lawsuit, or was it just criticism of the department, or did they just say, hey, it's time to add one of these?
I think it's a lot of it is just criticism of the, you know, the sort of this fiefdom that judges kind of set up, and that certain attorneys got a lot of different work, and I think it didn't look good, and, you know, in some cases, some attorneys handled cases that they didn't do very well with, but they were getting appointed to cases maybe they couldn't handle. You know, maybe a guy gets appointed to, you know, a capital murder case, but he's not really up for that. In this situation, you're going to have more experienced attorneys who would handle some of those bigger things, I think. You know, I know that, you know, defending accused criminals probably isn't at the top of everybody's list, but it is part of our justice system. And, you know, certainly if you're somebody who is accused and somebody who's got a family member who's accused, you'd want them to have good representation.
Yeah, it's probably the most said line in the now defunct show Cops. Whenever they arrest someone, that an attorney will be appointed to you. So that's a good one. I'm going to have to pick that up and read that in the new Lanyap. Also, yesterday, speaking of relations between citizens and the criminal justice system here in our county, yesterday, the first meeting for this public police community relations board that they've kind of gathered, and it sounds like yesterday was kind of a get to know you thing, but I'm wondering whether we'll hear a lot from this board that started meeting yesterday. I know they've been calling on Mobile police to release documents that say, you know, kind of their what they do and how they decide to make arrests. What do you know about this new committee that's kind of started gathering as of yesterday?
Well, you know, of course, it's the second one of these committees that was put together. The first one they did nobody, it basically just petered out very quickly. Nobody really wanted to do it. Nobody really wanted to meet. We'll see what happens with this one. Obviously, there's times are a little different right now, and things are maybe a little more front and center. So perhaps it will be something that stays going on, and you know, they have asked for the policies from the department.
Mm-hmm.
The department has started to release various parts of its policies. If you love to read police policy, there's tons of it out there now. I think it's a good thing for people to have input into the police department and things that are going on in the community. I don't think that's an issue. Where it goes, I have no idea. I don't know if there will be, I don't think that this is designed to police the police, per se.
Right.
You know, it's not something where we say, hey, these people who are civilians are going to tell the cops how they're going to do their jobs. But it is, I think, something where they can kind of have a sounding board and at least explain to them why they do certain things or hear back some concerns from citizens and say, you know, we don't understand this or we don't think this works right, and at least give it some consideration.
Was this got anything to do with the smaller group that were the group that was protesting outside of the city hall, the government center, trying to unearth police procedures and policies? Is that the same group?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if it's the same group, but I think that has something to do with some of those issues that there were, some of the policies were not out there. I mean, the policies just weren't out there for people to look at, which doesn't make a lot of sense either. I think, the cops over time have they've taken away a lot of the things we used to look at. Back in the days when I was a wet behind the ears police reporter, we could go in and look at police records from the night before, and complaints and look at those things, go through them. We didn't have to have this situation. Now we can't look at police reports anymore. We can't look at a lot of things. It just becomes easier and easier, getting body cam footage. We're all told, hey, they're going to get body cam footage for things to make things more transparent.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you have to fight them. We're in the Supreme Court, Alabama Supreme Court right now, fighting for body cam footage from Baldwin County. It's just, you can't, those things don't give them to you. And it's just become more and more locked down. I mean, just basic police reports. The fact you can't even look at the narratives on those anymore is just bizarre to me. But that's kind of where things have gone over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of this maybe is just unreeling stuff back to where it used to be. I mean, you certainly used to be able to look at procedures and things like that, and they were all written down and they were available for anybody. That you have to kind of you have to have a group form and people picketing to just see what's your procedure when this occurs. It seems a little strange to me.
When was the shift, or was it gradual, or was it something more sudden, or was it a reaction to something in the newspaper or in the media?
Well, the shift in Mobile came in when Sam Jones came into office. That was absolutely when it happened. I mean, the changes in what we were able to get statewide, the switch to a statewide police report was a big problem, because they put the narrative basically, so at the front of the police report there's just basic stuff on there, which they redact almost everything. Your name and your, maybe not in the name, but just address, things like that. And then there's a very brief description of what this person, what the call was about. But the narrative before used to be available where the police officer would write down, I pulled up, I saw this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are just unavailable anymore. They put them on the backside of the statewide police report, and then they will only hand out copies of the police report and only copy the front of it. So it is, that's been an issue statewide for a while now. Go back to when Jones came into office, that's when we no longer had the ability to go in and look at police reports on a daily basis.
Well, the current mayor, Mayor Sandy Stimson, has kick-started the discussion of whether we will have 2021 Mardi Gras. When we get back from the break, Rob, I want to discuss that, along with your editorial this week, an opportunity for voter fraud. When we get back here on FM Talk 106.5, we'll discuss that and a whole lot more.
Before the week is out, I would also like to talk to any Mobile County Public School parent and how that's all going this first week of all that, right? It's 8:47, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. Good morning, y'all. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:52. More with Lanyop's Rob Holbert on the way.
Yeah, this segment brought to you by our friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew doing fantastic work in Mobile and Baldwin counties and removing junk. So if you're like me and you've been looking out at the backyard and saying, man, there's some stuff out here that I could really do without, and I could use a little bit more freedom to move around, whether it's a guest room that you've now got overloaded with a bunch of junk or a shed that you're trying to move, just call the guys and girls over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And it's no contact, of course, in this strange age that we're living in. You might not want to be in contact personally with someone that is doing work outside your house. So you give them a call or go online, and they'll give you an estimate for how much it'll cost. And upfront pricing, so important with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They tell you what it'll cost, you say yay or nay, and then they get to work. They responsibly dispose of items, and even if it's in good condition, they'll find a way to donate those items. And they remove just about anything, whether it's a trampoline that hasn't been used in 15 years, or if you got a shed full of stuff, heck, they'll take the whole shed for you if you ask them to. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, the website. Now, continuing our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. And Rob, I thought it was pretty big news this week, but I think it'll be even bigger news as we get closer and closer to the end of January. But Mayor Sandy Stimson sending out a letter to some Mardi Gras parading societies and saying, hey, we really don't know what's going to happen for Mardi Gras 2021 during this pandemic, but you might want to make some plans plans just in case we aren't able to congregate like we normally do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, their answer back was sort of like to shrug and say, well, we're going to continue planning like we normally do. So I don't know that, you know, I don't think there's any alarm among the Mardi Gras associations at this point. But, you know, it does make sense for the mayor's office, in my opinion, to at least start putting the concept out there that we may have to think about some different things. You know, there's this big, you know, focus on Mardi Gras in New Orleans in particular, mm-hmm. as, you know, a super spreader event and that kind of thing. Although, you know, I think we were blaming it for cases like 3 months later. I don't know, but I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's, you know, a lot of this is going to be dependent on, you know, are there vaccines, or, you know, what are we doing at this point? Or, you know, it is a big deal, and it's going to be a lot to figure out at this point. But I think right now we're just sort of at the looking at it stage, and just everybody kind of put your thinking caps on and think and decide, you know, what you're going to do if this doesn't happen.
Rob, it's interesting because this weekend, once again, you know, Jim Cox and I do the Friday night football games on UTV 44. Now, we had a game at Ladd People Stadium last week, and of course, social distancing comes naturally there. It's a 40,000-seat stadium. What a big problem.
Right.
We've got a big matchup between McGill and Saraland, a couple of powers. I know that they would like to keep the crowd down. I don't exactly know what we're going to witness when we get there, but you talk about these. We're having test case every Friday evening with, you know, with crowds showing up at high school football.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, people are, people want to live their lives, I suppose. And I think you look at stuff and say, well, okay, when you're talking about kids, high school kids age, there's really not anybody dying from COVID at this point.
Right.
I get that you can spread it and the other things. So that makes it harder for them to look at it and say, I need to really adhere to these rules. I mean, that's a constant issue. I have two teenagers at home who are just like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
I get why that's a tough thing to deal with.
Well, I'm not sure if New Orleans makes a decision before Mobile, there could be a great opportunity here for us. And I'm thinking about the Big Ten and Pac-12 canceling, you know, a month, 2 months ahead of before when they were supposed
right.
to start. If New Orleans decides to not go through with Mardi Gras, Mobile could really take center stage as the original home of Mardi Gras and go on and play just like the SEC. I wonder if our decision will be affected by
them all here. it's going to be a strange thing if Mardi Gras is canceled. I find that hard to believe that it will be canceled.
There'll be a move for Greg Sankey to become mayor of Mobile.
Who knows? Rob, before we let you go, how can people get out and get that new issue of Lagniappe and subscribe online? That's the easiest way to get those great stories in your inbox. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things that you can go out and do is look for our pink and purple boxes all over town. The papers are loaded up there, but also you can go online at lagniappemobile.com and check us out there. If you're not a subscriber, it's 21 cents a day. It's cheap as it can be. It's less than like a Jolly Rancher or something. You know, you can you can go and read the news, and we have breaking news every day. If you're just reading the paper and out of the racks, you're missing a lot of stuff. So you get subscribed. It helps us keep this newspaper running, too.
And Sunday Brunch, the new feature, I think you're, what, 3 or 4 weeks into that? I absolutely love it.
Week 5 now. So, you know, we're, Sunday Brunch, I'm sending it out to everybody's emails. It's, you know, just kind of a recap of things, plus just a lot of my thoughts and whatever else that comes to mind.
Random Thoughts with Rob Holbrook.
Random Thoughts, basically, yes.
Hey, Rob, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, y'all have a great weekend.
You got it. Keep in mind, tonight, 8 o'clock?
Yes.
CBS Sports Network?
The South Alabama Jaguars, game one of their 2020 season, and they're playing Southern Miss. Two touchdown underdogs, the Jags. I might have picked a side in that one, and it's the side that I graduated from. So I'm hoping for a Jags. Let's just say I want them to win outright tonight.
There's going to be 9,000 people allowed in the stadium at Southern Miss, and I think it was like 800 tickets or 400 for the Jags, so... they won't hear too many cheers every time they score. FM Talk 106.5, and Jeff Poore is up next.